My name is Cynthia Liptak, for those who don't know me. Thank you. Thanks, love. Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat are in Brazil, along with the rest of a wonderful team. Thank you, Lord. So as I mentioned, they are in Brazil with the team, and they will next Sunday, everyone will be back. The Brazil team will be here next Sunday, so mark that on your calendars. Come ready to receive everything that they have to give and to share with us. And I was just thinking earlier that I'm just so thankful to be part of this body. I just like it on the side. Just to be thankful to be part of this body. You are an amazing group of people. You are servers, you're lovers, you're worshipers. And that is all that I kept hearing this weekend. For those who don't know, there was different opportunities happening this weekend, and our worship team was out ministering at the very early hour of 1:40, 1:30. And then we had some other people step up and serve in a different community event that was happening. And all I kept hearing was, you guys, Frontline is always awesome. You guys are willing to do the hard stuff. You're willing to take the crazy 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. slot. You're willing to come park cars for an event that isn't even yours. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys. And it was just a blessing to my heart as a leader here, as your co-body church member person. So thank you for representing yourselves well, for representing the heart of the Lord, most importantly, well. And I know I'm just very thankful to be a part of a body that likes to do the stuff, not just talk about the stuff. And there's pictures on our website from the Brazil team. They're trying to get updates to us. If they get those to us, I'll share some at the end. But for right now, we're going to go ahead and release the Kingdom Kids. I see their eager faces. There is a First Friday this Friday. We will be meeting here at the church at 6:30 if you're interested in going out on the streets to minister with Andy. You can talk to Andy for details. But this Friday here at 6:30 to go out on the streets for our First Friday, we have no booth. We will be a walking booth. So that's happening on this Friday. And then the only other thing I wanted to highlight is the ski trip, the young adult ski trip coming up February 19th and 20th. Friday night, we will be gathering at the JK home for fun, food, and worship. And then the group will be heading out very early Saturday morning to Peak and Peak for a day of skiing, snowboarding, snow tubing, snow watching, snow sitting, whatever other snow activity. So that if you're interested, you can register online at FMI conferences, or there are slips back there. Or if you know any young adults in your life that you think would be good to connect in that fashion with us, please feel free to hand those out and get the word out about the ski trip. So those are the happenings. Wow, it gets really quiet when Kingdom Kids go to Kingdom Land. I'm just thankful for this opportunity to share with you guys this morning. And again, I said it a couple minutes ago, but I just really believe that the Lord's already started releasing his message through worship. As we were praying with the worship team when we were trying to get, before getting started, there's a lot of words that were mentioned, pictures that were shared that really connect in, so it's always nice for the one speaking to hear confirmation from others of what's on the Lord's heart. And I just believe this morning is really about opportunity, as Rick spoke out during our prayer time. Opportunity to see things differently. Opportunity to really step into to see things the way the Lord sees them, to hear things the way that the Lord hears them. an opportunity to be lifted higher and going deeper. I think it was Teresa had a picture of when we were praying about hanging out in the shallow end of the pool and how comfortable and fun and easy it is. But there's a deep side. And I think this morning we have the opportunity to get on that diving board or the twirly slide or the inner tube thing and just dive into a deep part of the heart of the Lord this morning. So I'm just going to pray and dive into this. So Father, I just thank you once again. I thank you for your heart, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you, Father, for your ability to articulate what's on your heart, Lord God. And I just thank you, Lord, for your tremendous faithfulness, Father, for who you are, Lord, for who you are in our lives. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Holy One. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, this morning, I basically just want to be full of it. I just want to be so full of it. And what the it is what we need to clarify, what we want to be full of. What we want to be full of. But so I want to be full of it. I want to be full of it. I want to be full of heaven's perspective. I want to be full of thankfulness. I want to be full of him. I just want to be just completely full of who he is. There was two different scriptures that came to my heart as I was getting ready for this. And once again, at the beginning, I feel like I'm talking about French fries and carne asada and how do you get the two to come together? Lord, Holy Spirit, Jesus, help me. But they finally came together to make steak fries this morning for all to enjoy. Taking the fry and the carne asada, which is steak, combining it together to be a delicious meal with the Lord. So just follow me, track with me as I go through these different portions of scripture, probably both familiar to you, but hopefully we'll be able to offer some new perspective on what the Lord wants to share this morning. So the first verse or the first portion of scripture was just about Numbers 14:24. The account of the spies being sent out to check out the promised land, 10 were bad and 2 were good. And Caleb coming back and Joshua coming back with a perspective of what happened, and the 12 having a different perspective of what happened. So I'm going to start there. So in Numbers 14:24, I'm going to jump around chapter 14, I'm going to jump around starting around 17, 18. So Moses is saying, telling them to go scout out the land, go check it out, look the land over, see what it's like, assess the people. Are they strong or are they weak? Are there few or are they many? Is it pleasant or harsh? Is the land pleasant or harsh? Describe the towns where they live. Are they open camps or fortified walls? And the soil, is it fertile or barren? Are there fortresses? And try to bring back a sample of the produce that grows there. This is the season for the first ripe grapes. So this is Moses giving order to the guys. Go check it out. Pay attention to detail. You know, is it good? Is it bad? Is it ugly? You know, really, really check it out. And skipping down, they come back. We went to the land to which you sent us, and oh, it does flow with milk and honey. Just look at this fruit. The only thing is that the people who live there are fierce. Their cities are huge and well fortified. Worse yet, we saw descendants of the giant Anak, Amalekites are spread out. Hittites, Jezubites, Amorites hold the hill country, and the Canaanites are established on the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan. So there is a perspective. We went to the land, and there's some good stuff. There's milk and there's honey. But there's also very fierce, tall-looking people that have the land locked down. So Caleb interrupts, called for silence before Moses and said, "Let's go up and take the land now. We can do it." So we have Caleb who's saying, "It's all, you know, we got this." So there's 12 people checking out the same area, and 10 of them are like, "You're crazy. Yes, it's really good. It's everything that we long for. It's everything that we've dreamed of. It's everything that I pictured. It's perfect. It's absolute perfect. It's the land for us. But we can't have it because there's too many big people. We just can't take it. We just can't. It's right there. It's right there for the taking, but we can't have it." But yet there's two that have a totally different perspective. There's two that totally are, "Yes, that's true, but we can do this. We can take the land." So I'm putting myself in the group. Who do I listen to? Okay, the majority is saying, "Run. No, this isn't bad. This isn't good. Like, we cannot do this." Then you have two little dudes, or maybe big dudes, I don't know, saying, "We can do this. We can take this." No, yes, good, bad. Oh, it's good, but we can't. We can't handle it. So perspective. Whose perspective? But the other said, "We can't attack those people. They're way stronger than we are." They spread scary rumors around the people of Israel. They said, "We scouted out the land from one end to the other. It's a land that swallows people whole. Everybody we saw was huge. Why we even saw the somebody giants alongside them, we felt like grasshoppers. And they looked down on us as if we were grasshoppers." And I've read this before, again, a lot of times, but I never had really paid attention. Along them, we felt like grasshoppers. They looked down on us as if we were grasshoppers. We felt, we seemed, we thought we were like grasshoppers. I felt, I thought, compared to them, I am a grasshopper. And that's clearly how they saw us. So already there's a perspective that's been grabbed onto. There's an opinion that's been released. There's a reality that they're starting to create for themselves because they felt like grasshoppers. It doesn't say the other armies said, "You look like grasshoppers." Nowhere in here does it say besides they felt like grasshoppers. So if I feel like a grasshopper, surely my enemy's looking at me like a grasshopper, and they're going to completely take us out. Perspective. Perspective. The whole community was in a uproar, wailing all night. All the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The entire community was on it. "Why didn't we die in Egypt or in the wilderness? Why has God brought us to this country to kill us? Our wives, our children are about to become plunder. Why don't we just head back to Egypt right now?" So out of a perspective offered that we can't take the land, everybody's in an uproar and everybody's dying and everybody hates each other. And why did you make me do it? Why did you bring me here, Lord, to die? And nothing's happened. There was simply a scouting mission. And all of a sudden, there's drama, there's turmoil. Rah, people are going nuts and crazy, packing up, sell the car, move in, burn the house, you know, whatever. All this chaos in the midst of the situation. Soon they were all saying to one another, "Let's pick a new leader. Let's head back to Egypt." They just took it all the way. Forget about this. Let's forget Moses. Forget the two guys. Let's get rid of them. They're crazy. Let's get a new leader. Let's get a new leader. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in front of the entire community, gathered in emergency session. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, members of the scouting party, ripped their clothes off and addressed the assembly of people of Israel. "The land we walked through and scouted out is a very good land, very good indeed. If God is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land that flows, as they say, with milk and honey. He will give it to us. Just don't rebel against God. Don't be afraid of those people. Why, we'll have them for lunch. They have no protection, and God is on our side. Don't be afraid of them. So another perspective. Guys, God is on our side. We're protected. We got this. Let's go in. Let's do it. That's all we need, a word from our God. He will never let us down. He'll never let us down. All we need is that one word. If we hide ourselves in the one word of God, I feel like I'm talking really loud, and that's probably because I am. Perspective. The perspective of Joshua and Caleb, they were saying, guys, we can do this. This is good land. This is land that's being given to us. Let's not be afraid. Let's not rebel against what God is saying. Let's not rebel against what he's already ordained and given by believing a different perspective, by viewing things from a different place, by not realizing that, yeah, those dudes are big, but we have a bigger God. But the majority felt like grasshoppers. Therefore, they thought like grasshoppers. They operated as grasshoppers because that's how they chose to see themselves. That's the label, that's the whatever you want to call it, that they put themselves in. So they were behaving like grasshoppers, crazy, confused. You know, let's go. Ah! And nothing's happening yet. It was a report that was released. But there's chaos and there's turmoil and there's three saying, come on, guys, we can do this. We can go and possess the land. We can do this. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit in the chapter. And so Moses, and there's going before God, and God's like, well, these people, you know, they're off again. they're turning their backs on me, and there's a conversation, but God, please forgive them. Your love endures forever. You know, let's go there. So there's a conversation that happens, and finally we get to where the Lord is saying he's forgiving them. He'll honor his word, but they will not be able to enter in. But verse 24, but my servant Caleb, this is a different story. He has a different spirit. He follows me passionately. I'll bring him into the land that he scouted, and his children will inherit it. Caleb was a different story. He has a different spirit. He follows me passionately, and I will bring him into the land, and his children will inherit it. Because he had a different perspective, because he had different eyes, because he had the ability to see beyond what was in front of him. There was a perspective that was in him. There was an ability to tap into those deep places and be able to say, it's okay. Yes, they're big and tall, but this is what we have. We have the word of our God saying, possess the land. Take the land. Possess the land. So I decided to look up in different versions that specific verse 24, you know, to see what different perspective it could offer, different translations, different perspectives or interpretations. So the NIV, but because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. New Living Translation, but my servant Caleb has a different attitude than others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I'll bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. English Standard Version, but my servant Caleb, because has a different spirit and followed me fully, he shall possess the land. New American Standard, different spirit, and he has followed me fully, he will possess the land. King James, because he had another spirit with him, he followed me fully, he possesses the land. Holman Christian Standard Bible, Caleb has a different spirit and he followed me completely, and I will bring him into the land. He will inherit it. It didn't change in any of the translations. The word of God didn't change. Because he had a different spirit, he will possess the land. Because he had a different attitude, he will possess the land. Because he trusted me, he will possess the land. Because he could see me in the midst of the giants. in the midst of the fortresses and all of that, because he could, he shall possess, he shall inherit, he shall have, because he was of a different spirit, because he was a different thinker, because he was a different thinker, because he was a different thinker, he would possess the land. He would possess the land. And I just felt this morning that some of us are staring at our Canaan, are staring at that promised land, and it looks good because it has your milk and your honey, and it has everything that God has ever promised you, and you're at the edge, and you're looking in, and you're saying, yes, it's good, but in heaven's perspective, there is no but. It's possessed the land. Emotionally, spiritually, tangibly, possess the land. He's saying to you, to me this morning, possess the land. You are not a grasshopper. You are not a grasshopper. I didn't create you to be a grasshopper. You can possess the land. Heaven's perspective gives us the ability to step and take the land. Has a different spirit, follows me wholeheartedly, follows me. He has remained loyal to me. He followed me fully. He followed me completely. He was of a different spirit. He follows me wholeheartedly. The different spirit follows the Lord wholeheartedly, fully, completely, loyal to him. The different spirit, wholeheartedly, wholeheartedly. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Wholeheartedly, completely. That is the different spirit. Loving one aspect of it, one facet of it. Loving the Lord wholly, fully, completely. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with everything that you are, enables you to see heaven's perspective, because you see things from that place of being fully committed, fully one with him. Kayla loved him fully, completely. He loved God. He loved him. He loved him with every part of who he was. And enabled him to see things from a different perspective, from a different place, from God's heart. They're looking at the same thing, saying, yep, yes, you're right. I know that you can make this, you're on my side, and I can go for it. Where the others were burning houses, packing bags, and telling the impeaching leaders and heading for the hills. At the thought of simply having to maybe possibly face a bad person in the land, it was chaos and drama. And the other, there was stability, there was focus, there was determination, there was consistency, there was an ability to say, yeah, we're going for it. And because of that, he was blessed by the Lord, blessed him. He was able to inherit the land, to possess the land. He was able to go there. He was able to go there. So as I'm thinking about, you know, perspectives and different spirit, and okay, yes, Lord, okay, I'm in there with you. I got it. Yes. So I'm there, and as I was thinking about things this morning, so I'm with the Lord and I'm talking to him and, you know, yeah, doing things different, looking different, feeling different, different perspective. And so can you put the boot on? I'm wearing those boots today. So they give you a picture. So I'm all like, yeah, you know, something a little different, a little edgy. Yeah, kind of like my boots, you know, they're, you know, gold little spikes, little spots, black. Yeah, I'm feeling, yeah, you know, I'm stepping into that little different. It's not something normally that I would buy for myself. It was a gift, but I really like them. And yeah, I'm feeling this, you know, Lord, like undercover, different perspective. You know, the Lord's called us to live and be able to offer that different perspective to our areas of influence, family. You know, I want to be a different mom. I want to be a different parent. I want to be a different coworker. I want to be a different whatever your world of influence is. So I'm like, oh, you know, yeah, I'm feeling good. You know, this little, yeah, you know, just a good reminder, a prophetic visual of, ooh, a different spirit. So I'm in the at the stove cooking, and so then I hear, hey, babe, Eliana wants to come down and show you something. It's like, okay. all right, so Eliana comes down. It's like, wow, that's a different perspective. I'm like, wow, Lord, it was almost like, and not almost, it was a conversation that typically that would kind of be hard for me to let her do. You know, I mean, Eliana loves to have one unique piece in her outfit all the time, which is fine with me. That full, typically I'd try, hey, do you want to change your shoes? Maybe all purple, you know, offer a little bit. But it was just like the Lord's like, different perspective, loud perspective, clearly different perspective. She is clearly in the fullness of a different perspective, of a different perspective. So it was, so I just felt like the Lord was like, that's good that you have, you know, a little taste on your boots. That's good that you've stepped into that, Cynthia. That's good that you're more of an undercover sharer of that perspective. But I called you to live in the fullness of that different spirit, of that different perspective. And not that I'm not saying that we get weird and loud and in people's faces. I'm talking about inside of who we are. I'm talking about in the core of who we are, allowing that different spirit that you can be that confident and that happy about your different perspective on who you are. And I wasn't sure who had seen her this morning, so I figured a picture would give you a good visual. So kind of rewinding a little bit, this past week, on Wednesday, would have been my dad's birthday. My dad passed away 6 years ago. He was a cowboy, unexpectedly accident with the horse. Details aren't clear as to exactly what happened. He was by himself, but he passed away 6 years ago. And on Wednesday was his birthday, what would have been his birthday. So can you put up the other picture? So most times, this picture, I have a perspective of it. Most times, this picture is comforting to me. Fond memories, joy. I remember the little conversation that we were having at that specific moment at my wedding. So typically, this picture offers a very comforting perspective to me. It's a very good thing for me to have in my house and look at. However, this Wednesday, my perspective was a bit different. My day just had started off just feeling very frustrated inside, angry, just upset about life, really. And on Wednesday, this picture offered a completely different perspective. On Wednesday, it offered a perspective of total and complete loss. It was really hard for me to look at that picture on Wednesday, and it so happens that we got a USB drive of all our wedding pictures. I got a hold of the photographer, and he's from 10 years ago, and he still had them, and it was something that I had wanted because these were the last pictures that I had of my dad of a special family moment. Anyhow, so on Wednesday in the mail is a USB with over 200 pictures, with a lot of pictures of my dad. Typically, on a different day and a different time, a wonderful perspective, a joy, a wonderful gift in the mail that would help me remember the joy and the love of my relationship with my dad. This Wednesday, not so much. I tried to put in the USB into the computer, and I was like, I can't, whatever. Threw it in the package, it came in. I couldn't do it. I couldn't go there. So I'm walking around, you know, frustrated, and it's clearly coming out with the kids, coming out with Lawrence. So he offers that, hey, do we need to pray? And my less than welcoming response at that moment was a big indicator to me that definitely we need to pray. Not at that moment. Again, my response was less than welcoming to time prayer with my husband. But it was like, yes, but not now, whatever. So this anger and this frustration and this horrid feeling of, I was just stuck in this perspective of loss all day. And obviously, there has been a loss, and obviously, there's a grieving process, and obviously, I'm not in denial of any of that, and it's been 6 years of walking that process with Holy Spirit, and it's been very healing to my heart. Clearly, there was a deeper place that the Lord wanted to touch. There was more land for me to possess in that realm in my life, emotionally, physically, as a woman, as a mom, as a daughter. So that evening, we end up, I took a shower, and then I said, yes, I'd like to pray. Lauren's offered again, and I said yes. And in that moment, my whole perspective was complete and utter loss. I don't even know how to put into words. It was just a deep cry in the deepest part of who I was. I just want my dad. I just want my dad. I just want to hold him. I want to hear his voice again. Like, why can't I? Why? Like, what is just this? My whole perspective at that moment was just complete loss. Like I said, just wanting to hear his voice again. Why can't I just hug him again? Why can't I just feel him again? Like, what is going on? And feeling this intense struggle inside, and just like a little girl, crying her heart out and freaking out, and this is all inside. And Lawrence is at this time praying for me, and I'm just crying in his lap, and he's praying for me, and he's praying for me, and he's praying for me, and I start to breathe a little bit, and he spoke out over me, mourning lasts for the night, but your joy comes in the morning. And that broke something, clearly. It released what I needed at that moment. And so at that point, I was able to start engaging and start changing my perspective, lifting my eyes a little bit emotionally, spiritually. And so I started connecting with that. That's right. That's truth. My morning will last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Like, I know that's true. And started allowing that to marinate in my heart and in my mind. And all the strength that I had at that moment emotionally was just a whisper. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing in my heart. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you for taking this. Thank you for speaking to my heart. Thank you, Lord. And my perspective started shifting again. My perspective started to become clear again. My perspective started to be that of the Lord's, of heaven, of truth. My perspective, it arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is upon you, came to me in that moment. That's right, I arise and I shine because the glory of the Lord is upon me. He shines upon me in my moment of loss, in my moment of struggle, in my moment of my perspective being that of loss and anguish and pain. But he came. He came, he never let me down. And as I agreed with that, as I agreed with heaven's perspective, as I agreed with his truth, healing came. It wasn't just a night of wallowing and suffering. There was healing that came. There was transformation in my heart. There was a deeper understanding of who my Heavenly Father is, of his intention for my life. But I had to agree with his perspective. I had to agree with the perspective that my husband was offering at the time. Or I could have stayed in that very easily. Oh, very, very easily. I could have stayed in that place. But I wanted to possess the land of greater breakthrough for my children, for me, for the people that I ministered to, for the people that I prayed to. I wanted to get out of it. I didn't want to stay there. And now I can look at that picture and again, love it, enjoy it, allow it to bring joy and comfort and peace and all the awesome things that it's supposed to represent. And not staying in a perspective of loss. Not staying in that perspective of, you know, why me, God? So fast forward a couple of days. On Saturday, I was able to attend a training here in Akron, and it was very good. And as I'm sitting there, again, these conversations are all continuous conversation with the Lord and Holy Spirit. And I'm sitting there, and in the far back of my mind and in my heart, you know, I'm thinking about my week, my day, what's going on, and that crazy Wednesday of goodness that ended up in goodness. But as I'm sitting there, and I'm starting to listen, I'm hearing people share, and I'm hearing that one of the major causes for young women to be sexually trafficked and engaged in a world that they weren't created for, one of the main things that one of the highest for young women, men and women, is not having a father. Not having a father. So more started to settle in. My God, thank you so much. I had a father. They never had a father. Some of you have never had a father. I had a father. My God, thank you for having that. I had a father in my life that was a good man, that loved me, that raised me, that was dependable, that was consistent, that imperfect, but he was a good father. He was a good man. And you blessed me with that, Lord. You blessed me with a father. Thank you, God Almighty. Thank you for blessing me with a dad. Thank you, Lord. My perspective was raised even higher. Because I'm sitting there listening that people don't have fathers. I've heard that men, a lot of times I've read it, I've watched it, you probably have told me in here yourselves. But the revelation, the thankfulness that I had a father for the years that I had a father. Some people don't ever get to know a father on this earth. My God, my God. What do I have to complain about? What do I have to? There's nothing to complain about. I had a dad, a good dad, a loving dad. And you're telling me that there's a population out there that's never known their father? I have no business staying in a perspective of loss. I have no business staying in that dark place of pain and emotion. Do you hear what I'm saying? I had something to be thankful for, and that's what I want to be full of. I want to be full of thankfulness. Thankfulness for what I have and for where God is taking me. Thankful for the fact that he's saying, I have the promised land for you. I have that land for you. Yes, it's full of big people. Yes, it has some walls around it, but that's nothing for me. That is nothing for me. There's emotional territory. There's natural, physical, tangible, like, you know, a literal house or car or home or whatever your need is. There's spiritual territory that the Lord wants us to possess. He wants us to go into. But if we stay in a perspective of loss, of pain, of hurt, then that's all we get. That's all we get. We receive. How we see it is what we will receive. How I see it is what I will receive. The majority saw themselves as grasshoppers. So what did they get? What a grasshopper gets? Nothing. How we see it is what we will receive. How I see it, how I see that picture with my dad, how I see it is how I will receive it. You know, the enemy's job, heard this quote over the weekend. The enemy's job is to keep us so preoccupied and distracted with what we never feel, that we never feel qualified, or have the time to help someone else. I'll read that again. The enemy's job is to keep you so preoccupied and distracted that you never feel qualified or have the time to help someone else. That is the grasshopper perspective. To stay in that place of darkness, like as I said, preoccupied with our thoughts, our struggles, our pain, our XYZs. Like that's what he wants us to do, to keep us so preoccupied that we're so either distracted or we feel unqualified to serve others. To serve others. We need to be able to have a different perspective. We should desire, we have the opportunity, I should say, to see things from a different perspective. And in that, I want to make sure that my heart is understood and I'm being clear. And in that moment where I'm sitting there listening about a population on this earth that doesn't know a father, it's not like it was this horrid rebuke from the Lord, you ungrateful daughter. No. It was gratitude raising up inside for the fact that I had a dad, for the fact that I had him with me as long as I did, and compassion for those that have never had that. Does that make sense? Am I making my heart clear? That it was an exchange of, yes, I had loss, yes, I had pain, but there's someone out there that has a different loss and a different pain, and I have an answer. Jesus, I have a different perspective to offer. I have a voice. I have a testimony. I have something to give. But I can't see that if I choose to see myself as a grasshopper unable to possess the land. Isaiah 61. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Arise and shine, for your light has come. So as I'm on this, from being a different spirit, different perspective on my journey to, I want to be thankful. I want to be full of thanks. I want to be full of it. So, so full of thanks. I want to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 came to mind. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. For a long time, that little three-word fragment really bothered me. Because that means give thanks in all circumstances. The different translation, give thanks in all circumstances. New Living Translation, be thankful in all circumstances. English Standard Version, give thanks in all circumstances. I was trying to find to see if there was one, you know, that said, give thanks in all things, but, you know, if it makes you sad, don't. But Berean Bible Study, give thanks in every circumstance. New American Standard, in everything, give thanks. In every, King James, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Holman Christian Standard Bible, give thanks in everything be thankful, in everything give thanks. Aramaic Bible, in plain English, give thanks in everything. God's Words Translation, whatever happens, give thanks. And I can go on and on and on, in every single translation, it stays the same. In all things, give thanks. In all circumstances, give thanks. The cool part, the revelation that hit my heart, was if the Lord is saying to give thanks in all things, that means that he gives us the ability to do that. That if the Lord is saying give thanks in all circumstances, then there's something to be thankful for in every circumstance. there's something to be thankful for in every circumstance, because he's saying, this is my will for you to thank me in every circumstance. So if God is saying to thank him in every circumstance, there has to be something in every circumstance to be thankful for. There has to be something that we can be thankful for in every circumstance if God is saying that is his will for us to thank him in every circumstance. Because he enables that. He created it that way. And that is a different perspective. That is the different spirit, the ability to see that in every circumstance, there is one thing to be thankful for. In the loss of my father Wednesday day, the one thing that I could be thankful for, that I had a dad. I lost him early. Yes, I had a dad. I am thankful. I am full of thanks that I had a dad, because there's those that don't have that. In every circumstance, there is something to be thankful for. As horrid and painful and ugly, there's one thing. There's one thing to be thankful for, because he says it. Because he created it that way, because he enables us. But you have to be determined. You have to be persistent. You have to be in love with him with all of your mind, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your strength to be able to see the one thing that I can be thankful for in every circumstance. And a good default one, if you can't think of one in that horrid moment or place, Jesus. Jesus. My life is falling apart. I have horrid pain. I'm confused, whatever, the bills are due. But I can be thankful for Jesus. I can be thankful for Jesus. I can be thankful that he died on the cross. If you can't think of anything else, that is your default from now on. Thankful that somebody died on the cross for me and saved me, that one day I was in a place to hear the gospel that led me into a relationship with the Lord. I can at least be thankful for that. I can start from there, which isn't just starting, because that's the whole thing. But in our backwards thinking, we can start there. But in all circumstances, in everything, there is one thing that we can be thankful for, because he enabled it that way. He made it that way. He created it that way. I'm sorry to lay that on you and now you're responsible for it, but I had to be responsible for it myself first. That there's nothing, come on, God, there has to be one circumstances that I cannot be thankful for, because it's ridiculous. How can I be thankful in everything? Don't you know what happens in my life and in my heart? He does. But in that is the key, in that is the release, in that is the thing to be full of, so that we can get out of the stuff, so that we can begin to see things from a different spirit, from a different perspective, to live our lives from that place. In all things, in all circumstance, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, concerning me. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Yeshua, the Messiah, among you. In everything, give thanks. In everything, there's something that we can be thankful for that keeps us in that place with him, that keeps us in that safety zone, that keeps us on the track, that keeps us from taking the turn into the land of complete pit. I'm telling you that pain on Wednesday night, as I've said, my dad's been gone for 6 years, so there's been moments, there's been times of grieving, there's been, you know, holding on to that truth that Pastor Mary Pat released into my life when everything happened. Sin, every time that the strong emotions come, ride them with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, ride this wave with me. And that's been my progression, and that's been my healing, and that's in my deliverance from that kind of loss in my life. But this Wednesday, it was so, I mean, my whole, it was like obviously the struggle inside, because there's, you know, glimpses of light and truth, and, you know, preaching to my own self, the many messages that I've given, my own Freedom Class 101 to my own self. But it was such a, this, you know, this wanting to take over, wanting to settle in, wanting just an inch for me to agree with. But then truth came, the ability to, you're right, morning is for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You're right, arise, shine, you're right, this is truth, Lord, you're right, I'm thankful, I will possess the land of healing in my heart, I will possess the land of deliverance, I will possess the land in this moment, in this circumstance. Because that's how good he is. That's how faithful he is. Because we weren't created to be grasshoppers. We were created to be his daughters and his sons, possessing the land. For what? For ourselves? I think you know better than that in this house. For those around us, for our children, for our families, for the Brazilian children in the favelas, for the world, for your neighbor, for your mom, for your dad, to be able to be that voice, to be able to be that voice for them that leads them out of the dark places. Thank you, Lord. Jamie, can you play something on the keys for me? Gonna just thank you, Lord. Possess the land. He wants us to be able to possess the land. Being of a different spirit, of a different perspective. Being full of it. So, Father, I just thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for your truth. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our hearts in this moment, Holy One. Lord, I thank you for each person that is here, Father, wherever, whatever part or all of this word is ministering, is touching, is speaking, Lord God. Just thank you, Jesus, that by your spirit, Lord, by your hand, by your love, by the power of your resurrection, Jesus, that you are releasing and imparting in this moment, Lord, a deeper understanding, an ability to see you, Holy One, an ability to connect with your heart wholly and completely. Holy and completely, fully, Lord. Father, we want to be ones of a different spirit, Lord. We want to be ones, Lord, that have your eyes to see. Eyes of thankfulness, eyes of love, eyes of love for you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's just an opportunity, as I started off with, an opportunity this morning just to connect with the Lord. Where you are, whatever is going on in your heart, all he longs for is an opportunity to touch your heart, an opportunity for you to step into agreeing with truth, agreeing with his heart, agreeing with his spirit for your life, for your circumstance. I shared with you my life and my circumstance, but he has it for you, for that one thing, the whole thing. Father, we don't want to be full of anything other than you, Lord. The fullness of thanksgiving, the fullness of a thankful heart, Lord. Thankful, Holy One, because in all things you have called us to be thankful. Even when we're staring at the giant that's possessed, that has our land, our promised land, Lord. We thank you, Father, that anyone who's here that's been feeling like a grasshopper staring at the promised land, Lord, Father, that the lies of the enemy would be silenced, that perspective would begin to lift and change, Lord, as your beloved agree with your heart, Lord, that they're not grasshoppers staring at an impossible promise, Lord, but that we are your sons and your daughters fully equipped to possess the land, to fully possess the land, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for breakthrough, Father. I just believe that it's a moment of breakthrough, Lord, of breakthrough, Father. I just see it, Lord. I see the ground breaking, Lord. I see it breaking open, Lord God. Father, where life circumstances and pain or hurt or disappointment or doubt or shame have hardened our hearts, Lord God, I just thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit, Holy One, you are ministering to them this morning, Lord, that you're softening the ground to be able to receive what you have for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that this morning your heart is arise and shine. Arise and shine, my sons and my daughters. Arise and shine, because the light is here to shine upon you, because God's glory is shining upon you. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mike, I know that earlier you sung out a prophetic song about perspective. I don't know that you can do it word for word, but would you just come up and see what the Lord does? I don't know if you guys were able to catch in the middle of worship, but Mike started singing out just a prophetic decree about perspective and heaven's perspective. So again, I high-fived Holy Spirit that I was hearing from him. So as this continues, you're officially released. If you want to stay and be ministered to by the Lord, please come up. Please stay where you are. Just engage with him. Just really wanted to offer just that your spirit may be fortified this morning. It would be strengthened from the core of who you are, that the promised land is obtainable, that the promised land is there. Don't shy away from it, because your God is on your side. If he's released the word to you, then he enables it to happen. And our safety zone is loving him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And to remain in that thankful place, in that thankful place, in that thankful place. So I'm just going to continue to release prayer through the mic. And as Mike and Jamie continue to worship, be blessed, be strengthened, be encouraged, because you are loved. You are so loved. You are so immensely loved by your Creator, by your God, by your King, by your Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I don't want to see from my own. own perspective, Lord. I don't want to see how I've seen before, but I want to see from your perspective. I don't want to see things the way I used to see. I don't want to see from my own perspective. I don't want to see what you say, God. This is what what you say, Lord. This is who you are. You are love. You are kindness. You are grace. And you never change. You will be the same tomorrow. You are the same yesterday and today and forever. You are trustworthy. You are full of truth. 'Cause I don't want to see things the way I used to see. I don't want to see from my own perspective. I don't want to see things the way I used to see. But I want to see from your perspective, Lord. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Just open my eyes. Oh. It's you who brings